Hello, everyone. Happy, happy, happy Sunday. I just finished watching Bagger Vance, and so I'm feeling all, I don't know how I feel. You know, it's such a feel good movie, right? I suppose feel good is how I feel, but you know, it's you know, like when the movie ended, you know, I just sat there while all of the credits played. You know, I didn't really want to move from my seat. I suppose, you know, still full is how I feel. Still and full. But I finished watching the movie about 20 minutes ago, so I knew that I would have to move and come in here. So here I am, but I still have that still full feeling. So I just kind of want to sit and be. So when I opened up my music to see what song I would play, the very first song I saw was Thank You for the Music. And this song, you know, when she sings, this is Amanda Seyfried from Mamma Mia. And when she sings Thank You for the Music, you know, the music to me is symbolic of Holy Spirit and her wisdom. You know, thank you for that guidance. Thank you for that clarity. Thank you for that inner wisdom. Thank you for that intuition. And, you know, and that's really what Bagger Vance was all about, right? So so when I saw this song, as soon as I opened up iTunes, I thought, that's perfect. So here we go.
I'm nothing special. In fact, I'm a bit of a bore. When I tell a joke, you've probably heard it before. But I have a talent, a wonderful thing, 'cause everyone listens when I start to sing. I'm so grateful and proud. All I want is to sing it out loud. So I say thank you for the music, the songs I'm singing. Thanks for all the joy they're bringing. Who can live without it? I ask in all honesty, what would life be without a song or a dance? Giving it to me. Mother says I was a dancer before I could walk. She says I began to sing long before I could talk. But I often wonder, how did it all start? Who found out that nothing could capture a heart like a melody can? Well, whoever it was, I'm a fan. So I say thank you for the music, the songs I'm singing. Thanks for all the joy they're bringing. Who can live without it? I ask in all honesty. Who can live without it? I ask you.
I also, you know, I'm also now feeling very sleepy. And the reason for that is yesterday I created the Italy web pages, the web pages about the Italy pilgrimage. And it was the kind of thing that once I got started, you know, the energy was just kind of took over and I just couldn't quit. So I think I worked on it 16 hours yesterday. And, you know, it was after 11 when I went to bed. And then I woke up at 4:45 anyway. So so I'm operating on what, 4.5 hours sleep. And that's starting to wear on me now. But it wouldn't be the appropriate time for me to lay down and go to sleep anyway. So it's good that I'm teaching. It'd be too early to go to sleep. If I can stay up until at least 8:30 tonight before I go to sleep, that would be better. But yeah, those of you who haven't seen them, if you go to either reginadonacres.com or if you go to awakening-together.org and look under the retreats menu, you will see the web pages about the Italy pilgrimage this October. They're all up, ready to go. And I think we have 11 people already committed, having paid deposit, and some already paid in full. So please join us for our trip to Italy this October. Nikola Tesla used to sleep 2 hours a night in his creative spurts. Yeah, once that takes a hold of you. I mean, like, I had no idea until I finished and looked at the clock. And I had no idea it was after 11. And normally, you know, there's no way I could keep my eyes open that late. I'm a real early to bed, early to rise person. But I wasn't looking at the clock. You know, it was just, I was just taken over. Yeah. But it is now done, right? Okay, so let me stretch. Ooh, I am tired, but that's all right. I'll shake it off. And we'll do a 7 steps teaching, and then we'll do a movie discussion group, and then we'll do Craig Holiday, and then I'll see about going to bed. So, I'm looking at quote 804 in the 7 Steps to Awakening. Really, we looked at this last week. We looked at the journal entries 804 A, B, C, D, E. All that is left is 804 F. And it's really simple, which you'll see in just a moment. It's just a statement of gratitude. But before I look at that last journal entry related to quote 804, let me read quote 804 again. This is from Nisargadatta Maharaj. Merely to trust is not enough. You must also desire. Without desire for freedom, of what use is the confidence that you can acquire freedom? Desire and confidence must go together. The stronger your desire, the easier comes the help. And last week when I was teaching, I made a bit of a confession. My confession was that when I started the step 4 quotes, I was in a bit of a inspirational dry spell. And to the best of my memory, and we all know how faulty memory is, so we always have to take memory with a grain of salt. But to the best of my memory, what had happened was, of course, I was learning to meditate and really putting my focus in meditation. But what I had done, I had not extended whatever my morning time was. And so it looks like what I had done was I had given up contemplation in favor of meditation. And contemplation is what inspires me. So when I gave up contemplation in favor of meditation, it's like I lost my inspiration. It's kind of like I was closing my eyes each morning because I was supposed to, rather than because I wanted to. And when I say I was supposed to, you know, I really had and have but we're talking past tense now. We're talking about 2015. So I really had a lot of confidence in Michael Langford and a lot of confidence. I still have incredible confidence in his teaching about the importance of awareness, watching awareness, or loving consciousness method of meditation. In fact, I am absolutely convinced that this meditation is critical to at least my spiritual path. And so I had that confidence, which is what this quote is talking about. I had that confidence in the method of practice. I was practicing loving consciousness meditation. But the desire was seeping away because I wasn't practicing contemplation, and contemplation is what inspires me. So I had absolute confidence in the practice of meditation, complete confidence. I mean, I just can't state that clear enough, that I really think Michael Langford is right, you know, that awareness, watching awareness, or loving consciousness method of meditation is just, you know, it is the doorway to self-realization. So I had the confidence. But since I was not practicing contemplation, the desire was seeping out of me and my practice was becoming very, very dry. So with that said, let me just read this quote again and then we'll go to the last journal entry that I have on 804. Merely to trust is not enough. You must also desire. Without desire for freedom, of what use is the confidence that you can acquire freedom? Desire and confidence must go together. The stronger your desire, the easier comes the help. So I think maybe, I might have started a little bit in August of that year, a little bit of on again, off again contemplation. By September and October of that year, I was starting to contemplate more regularly again. I began with the step four quotes because that's where I was at the time in the seven steps to awakening. And what I found was that as I got back into the groove of contemplating again, that my desire began to return. And my practice began to come from the heart, began to come from this is what I want to be doing more than anything else in the world. And so it was the contemplation that gave me my love back. Right? So for me, contemplation and meditation by necessity go hand in hand. And as I mentioned last week, you know, what inspires you might be different. You know, you might be inspired by listening to music before you meditate, or you might be inspired by taking a walk, you know, in nature before you meditate, or, you know, just sitting quietly with a cup of tea, you know, before you meditate. I don't know what opens your heart, but at least as it appears to me, heart opening is, you know, I hate to use the word requirement because that's such a dry word. When you're talking about heart opening, but heart opening is maybe I should use the word prerequisite. Is that a little less dry? Heart opening is like a prerequisite to a really meaningful meditation session. And again, contemplation gives me that. Or watching Bagger Vance. Boy, that worked. I got to tell you, I just sat down to watch The Legend of Bagger Vance, you know, 2.5 hours ago, and I haven't watched that movie in a few years. In fact, I used to own it, but I couldn't find it. I must have loaned it out to someone and forgot who and didn't get it back. I had to watch it on Amazon. But oh my gosh, I mean, you know, that movie is just so inspirational. You know, if I hadn't needed to come here right after watching the movie, I could have closed my eyes after watching Bagger Vance and gone to an hour to an hour and a half worth of meditation if I didn't fall asleep because of the lack of sleep last night. But I mean, the inspiration was full, right? Watching Bagger Vance just ripped me open, you know. So something that just rips your heart wide open so that the meditation is just engulfed in an open heart. To me, that's the way to go about it. So let's read this very last journal entry related to quote 804. This is 804F. It was written on October 13, 2015. It's quite simple. It says, I am grateful for this opportunity to contemplate the step four quotes. This opportunity is one of the illusion's gifts. And again, I was grateful for this opportunity because it brought the heart back into my practice. It brought the love back into my spiritual work. Only, you know, once it brings the love back in, it's not spiritual work anymore. It's what you love, right? It turns the work into love, right? Just like in Bagger Vance, they love the game of golf. You know, I love the contemplation and the meditation. So taking the time to contemplate these, it brought my authentic swing back. That's what it did. By meditating alone, I had lost my authentic swing, right? If you saw Bagger Vance in preparation for tonight's movie discussion group, you know what I'm talking about. If anybody is listening to this and hasn't seen it, the movie is The Legend of Bagger Vance, starring Will Smith and Matt Damon. But you know, that's all about losing your authentic swing. And when I went to just meditation, I lost my authentic swing. And when I came back to contemplation and began contemplating the step four quotes, after a little bit of time, just like in the movie, he had to swing a lot of times before he got his authentic swing back. You know, I was contemplating for several weeks before I got back into the groove. But it brought my swing back. My authentic swing. And so I haven't quit contemplating since then. I don't always contemplate the seven steps. I've been contemplating a Course in Miracles with gentle healing, course contemplating NTI with gentle healing, contemplating Bernadette Roberts. Lately I've been contemplating a book by Floyd Henderson, but I'm always contemplating, right? Always contemplating. Because that's where I get my authentic swing. So again, 804F, I am grateful for this opportunity to contemplate the step four quotes. This opportunity is one of the illusion's gifts. And with that, we can move from 804 to 805. Yeah, Jay is quoting from NTI, but you may not know your own heart, so it is useful to seek there in quiet as you pray. Yeah, find what opens your heart. Find, you know, your love. Find your love, right? Your authentic swing. All right. So, 805. Oh my goodness, when Jacqueline gets here, we're going to be all done discussing the legend of Bagger Vance, because to me this next quote is all about it too, but I just walked away from the movie, so of course it's on my mind. But this quote is, the greatest guru is helpless as long as the disciple is not eager to learn. The greatest guru is helpless as long as the disciple is not eager to learn. And again, if you watch The Legend of Bagger Vance, you saw those times when Bagger Vance, who really was the guru, when he was helpless because Captain Juna was not eager to learn. But I got to tell you that I distinctly remember reading this quote in 2015. And I remember having this thought. At that time, Michael Langford was really coaching me pretty closely through email. That's not occurring right now, but at that time, you know, he was really coaching me personally pretty closely. And so, I really saw him as my teacher, because he was teaching me. And I had, of course, a lot of respect for him, still do. But again, we're talking about 2015, so I'm using past tense. I had a lot of respect for him. I thought he was a very good teacher. But I realized that without me, he was helpless or useless or unable to be efficient or effective, unable to be effective, ineffective. Without me, he was ineffective. Right? It doesn't matter how good of a teacher Michael Langford or anyone else is. The teacher is completely ineffective if the teacher does not have a completely willing student. Right? A teacher is completely ineffective without a completely willing student. And so it's on us to be that completely willing student. You know, we make our teachers great, although if they're great teachers, they, you know, they aren't affected by that. They aren't affected. They don't see themselves as great. You know, they're not egotistical. They're not arrogant. But we make our teachers great. You know, we have to be the student, the willing student. So again, the quote is, the greatest guru is helpless as long as the disciple is not eager to learn. So let's see what I wrote in my journal. Listen to this. I have been given the gift of two clear, committed, and loving teachers. One internal and one external. And of course, the external teacher that I'm talking about specifically in this post was Michael Langford. I have been given the gift of two clear, committed, and loving teachers. One internal and one external. What generous gifts these teachers are to me. But I am the one who must listen to them and practice as they request. In order for the full power of my teacher's guidance to be known, I must cooperate fully with them. Yeah. So I don't think I have anything to add to that, so all I will do is read it one more time. I have been given the gift of two clear, committed, and loving teachers, one internal and one external. What generous gifts these teachers are to me. But I am the one who must listen to them and practice as they request. In order for the full power of my teacher's guidance to be known, I must cooperate fully with them. And with that said, I'm going to move right on to quote 806. So this is quote 806. Eagerness and earnestness are all important. Confidence will come with experience. Be devoted to your goal. I think I mentioned, maybe it was last week when we were looking at quote 804. Quote 804 again talks about how merely to trust is not enough. You must also desire. That confidence that you can acquire freedom without desire, is useless. And I remember commenting that, you know, it's kind of backwards from most of the people I know. Most of the people I know, have the desire, but they don't have the confidence. And quote 804 was talking about having the confidence but not the desire, right? Well, here, 806 is talking about the situation I find with most of my friends. Most of my friends have the desire, but they don't have the confidence. In fact, this morning when Jacqueline was teaching, she said something that really pointed to a thought that I find in pretty much everybody's minds when I talk to them. That thought was that, and I think she may have read this in the message that she was reading that came from her inner spiritual intuition. But that thought is that either there's no such thing as truth, or there is, but, you know, I'm not good enough to realize it. You know, other people may awaken to truth, but not me. I find that a lot of people have that thought. Maybe nearly everybody has that thought in their mind. And so that's what I would call a lack of confidence, right? There's the desire, but there's the lack of confidence that it could happen to me, right? There's something about me that just isn't good enough for awakening. I'm the one who will never make it. And I think many of you may recognize that thought. So quote 806 says, eagerness and earnestness are all important. Confidence will come with experience. Be devoted to your goal. So what this quote is saying to me is, if you are one who does not yet have the confidence that I shall awaken, right? This is saying be devoted for your goal, follow your desire, go for it anyway. Right? As you're devoted to your goal, you follow your desire, you practice to the best of your ability, you're going to begin to have experiences. And, you know, some of them could be mystical experiences, but, I don't think mystical experiences are all necessary. We're talking about you're going to begin to have experiences of not being your ego self, not being that familiar self. You're going to begin to notice as you're practicing that something in you is changing or dying or disappearing, right? There's a difference. You know, I'm sure I've said this before. Like, I remember the very first time I dropped a raw egg on the floor, and, of course, it broke, and I didn't have to go, oh, shit, you know. I didn't get angry and swear at myself. I just, with complete peace, just bent over and cleaned it up. Like, I remember the first time that happened. You know, that's evidence that the spiritual practice is working, right? And so we begin to notice these things. We begin to have experiences that are telling us that the spiritual practice is working on us. And as we begin to have these experiences, then the confidence begins to happen because we see something is happening. So again, the quote is, eagerness and earnestness are all important. Confidence will come with experience. Be devoted to your goal. So I am going to look at my journal now. This is 806A. I cannot forget the power within sincere desire. Sincere desire, backed by action, will draw everything that is needed to itself. What is meant by action? Spiritual practice. Contemplation. Meditation. Turning attention away from thoughts and toward presence. Right choices, etc. These are examples of action. Action that symbolizes the sincerity of desire. If there is no action, the desire to awaken is an idea that is not yet rooted with sincerity. Again, that last line. If there is no action, the desire to awaken is an idea that is not yet rooted with sincerity. And I think that for many of us, the idea is there before it's rooted with sincerity and therefore before it leads to action. You know, like I wanted to meditate for years before I did. The idea was there. You know, so sometimes I think the idea is like a seed and it gets planted. And then sometime later it sprouts. But we know that there's sincerity when we see ourselves following up on the desire for awakening with action, with spiritual practice, with, you know, contemplation, meditation, choosing not to speak or act from ego. watching for intuitive guidance on what to do, what to say, practicing the loving all method, right? When we find ourselves living our life in this way, then we know sincerity has taken root. Again, the journal entry is, I cannot forget the power within sincere desire. Sincere desire, backed by action, will draw everything that is needed to itself. What is meant by action? Spiritual practice, contemplation, meditation, turning attention away from thoughts and towards presence, right choices, and etc. These are examples of action. Action that symbolizes the sincerity of desire. If there is no action, the desire to awaken is an idea that is not yet rooted with sincerity. And I'm going to move to 806B, and I will tell you, I have just discovered that my body just does not do well on 4.5 hours sleep. I'll tell you what, guys, I could lay down and go to sleep right this second. I'm going to keep teaching, but woo! Oh, my goodness, I'm going to stretch again. Yeah, I'm not a 4.5 hour girl. Oh, goodness. All right. Yeah, Kathy says she's not either. Yeah, Jay says it's a web development hangover. It is. So please come to Italy. Make my effort worth it. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I'm tired. I don't know if I've ever taught while I felt this tired before. I think this is a first. So if I start snoring, you know, just red dot me and start playing some music or something. 27 minutes remaining. Yeah, I do. I feel like I'm pushing myself in a marathon here, Jay. That's how I feel, even though I love teaching. But I do kind of feel that way right now, like I'm pushing myself in a marathon. Okay, so here we go. The next one is really long, and that, you know, the next journal entry is really long, and that hits up against my tiredness and goes, oh, my God. Apparently, I wasn't tired on October 22nd, 2015, because I wrote a very, very long journal entry. So let's look at this quote one more time, and then we'll look at my journal entry. So quote number 806 says, eagerness and earnestness are all important. Confidence will come with experience. Be devoted to your goal. Eagerness and earnestness are all important. Confidence will come with experience. Be devoted to your goal. All right, so let's look at this mega, mega journal entry. It's one of the longest journal entries I've ever seen in my 7 Steps journal. Here we go. Be devoted to awakening. Oh, I remember writing this. What does it mean to be devoted to awakening? When I am devoted to my job, I give it undivided attention. Like yesterday, right? Like yesterday when I was creating those web pages. Okay, so that's an example of devotion. When I am devoted to my job, I give it my undivided attention. I work long hours willingly and tirelessly. I am committed to my best effort. I do not lose interest in a project until it is complete. I trust the unfolding that is yet to come. When I am devoted to my daughter, I give her my undivided attention. I make time for her happily and eagerly. I put myself aside so that I can listen to her without being an obstacle to communication. I cannot imagine losing interest in her ever. I trust her, and I am here for her. If I look at these two examples of devotion, one a devotion of responsibility and the other a devotion of the heart, what do I see? One who is devoted to awakening gives that purpose undistracted attention. That purpose is not forgotten. One who is devoted to awakening cannot help but set aside time for focused practice. It is seen as too important not to give it time. One who is devoted to awakening is committed to one's best and continuous effort to put the ego aside while being open to awakening's intuitive guidance. One who is devoted to awakening cannot lose interest in the purpose or practice. One cannot lose interest because it is a yearning of the heart. One who is devoted to awakening gives attention to that purpose in the way she is called to now. And she trusts the rest. And then it says, in parentheses at the bottom of the journal entry, it says, there's a double meaning in the last two words. It's really the last three words, but, you know, who's counting? trusts the rest. So the two meanings of the word rest, trust whatever else is unfolding, trust the rest, and trust the rest, the desire to just be still, to be quiet, to not be in control, right? Trust the rest. So this is interesting because on this particular day while contemplating quote 806, again, I wrote be devoted to awakening. But then I asked, what does it mean to be devoted? And immediately, two things came to mind that I am naturally devoted to. My job and my daughter. You know, these two symbols. I'm naturally devoted to my job. There's no, I mean, I do work for a board of directors, but they're not here. They only meet quarterly. You know, I don't have a boss hanging over me, making me work. Right? Nobody made me work 16 hours yesterday to get those web pages up, right? It just happened. It was just, you know, I'm devoted to my job. The inspiration came to begin and I just worked until it was done, right? Nobody made me. And the same thing with Jasmine, you know, I'm devoted to my daughter. You know, I love my daughter. I honor my daughter, you know, right? Nobody's making me love her. Nobody's saying, oh, you know, a good mother would do this and a good mother would do that. The ego used to say that, but I don't, you know, the ego doesn't even say that anymore. It just comes from pure love. So I looked at these two things that I'm naturally devoted to, my job and my daughter. And I said, okay, let's look at these two things and let's see what devotion looks like. What does natural devotion look like? And then let's take the qualities of natural devotion and see what that would look like if I was or if I am devoted to awakening, right? So let's just look at this journal entry again. Be devoted to awakening. What does it mean to be devoted to awakening? Right, here's example number one. When I am devoted to my job, I give it my undivided attention. And again, that happens naturally, right? Like yesterday when I was focused on those Italy web pages, I was focused on those Italy web pages. That's where my attention naturally went. Hours disappeared, right? When I am devoted to my job, I give it my undivided attention. I work long hours, willingly and tirelessly. I am committed to my best effort. I do not lose interest in a project until it is complete, which is why I was up till after 11 last night. I do not lose interest in a project until it is complete. And I trust the unfolding that is yet to come. You know, there's a line in the Tao Te Ching that talks about how the master does her work and then she forgets about it. To me, that's trusting the unfolding. So I do my work. You know, yesterday's job, of course, was creating those Italy web pages. I do my work, and then it's done, and I let it go. You know, I mean, I'm sure I will still be involved in a little bit of communicating with people to let them know about those pages, right, because that's also a part of my job. But it's about trusting that the right people will find the web pages and come on the trip, and that the trip will unfold in exactly the way it's supposed to. And, you know, you kind of do your part, and then you trust the rest, right? You know, a master does her work and then forgets about it. That's from the Tao Te Ching. So you don't walk around worrying about it. You don't carry it as a burden. I trust the unfolding that is yet to come. So let me read that example of being devoted to a job again. When I am devoted to my job, I give it my undivided attention. So if I'm devoted to awakening, I'm going to give it my undivided attention, right? I work long hours willingly and tirelessly, right? Like nobody's forcing me to do this. It's happening naturally because of the devotion. I work long hours willingly and tirelessly. So, you know, if I'm committed to awakening, right, then the same thing is going to happen in some way. You know, it'll be, you know, maybe long hours of contemplation, long hours of meditation, long hours of journaling with spirit, long hours of watching my own mind, making sure I'm not speaking or acting from ego, paying attention for intuition, following intuition. You know, I can do this all day, willingly and tirelessly, because I'm devoted. I am committed to my best effort. And one thing that's interesting about that sentence is it doesn't say I'm committed to perfection. You know, because if it said I'm committed to perfection, well, first of all, we're all going to make up what perfection is, because there isn't such a thing. You know, even if we went to the web pages and I said, okay, you guys, I want perfect, perfect web pages. Please tell me what I can change to make it perfect. You would each have different suggestions. And like if Kathy made a specific suggestion and I followed Kathy's specific suggestion, then Jay would email me and say, you know, I don't think you should change it. I liked it better the way it was. You know, we're never going to get to perfect. There's no such thing. Perfect is a concept. And we're always going to judge ourselves against that concept. So this doesn't say anything about perfection. It says, I am committed to my best effort. Right? I know that I'm giving my all as well as I can right now. And one thing that I found, of course, is as we give our best effort naturally gets better. Right? But we always just do whatever our best is right now. I do not lose interest in a project until it's complete. In other words, I'm not going to lose interest in awakening. It's not a hobby. I don't play at the game of awakening for 2 or 3 years and then start thinking, ooh, I think I want to travel now, right? Or something else, you know. We don't lose interest in awakening if we're devoted to it. It's just something that stays with us until it is complete. And I trust the unfolding that is yet to come. You know, we give it our undivided attention. You know, we willingly and tirelessly give it those long hours of attention. We are committed to our best effort. We do not lose interest in it, but we also don't worry about it. You know, there's something in NTI, I think it's around Luke chapter 4. Let me see if I can find it. I have an NTI nearby. so tired. I'm having trouble getting in and out of my chair. Okay, but look at this. The teaching is still happening. Okay, so Luke 4. If I fall asleep during a movie discussion group, you guys tell Jacqueline why, because she wasn't here for that. Okay, let's see. Is it Luke chapter 4? Just give me a moment while I look for it. It's what I'm looking for. It's talking about Mary. Maybe it's earlier than four. Yeah, here it is. Luke chapter 2. Jacqueline says she's counting on me to lead the discussion. Okay, so here's Luke chapter 2. It says, the birth of Jesus represents the birth of willingness, humble at first, but promising within it all the glory of heaven. Mary pondered this promise in her heart, not with the worrisome thoughts of the ego, but in her heart where Holy Spirit is. So in the journal entry where it talks about, you know, you do all of this, right? You give awakening your undivided attention. You work on awakening willingly and tirelessly. You give it your best effort. You continue with it until it's complete. But then you trust the unfolding, right? You do your part and then you trust the unfolding. That's the same as Mary pondering the promise in her heart, not with the worrisome thoughts of the ego, but in her heart. So you see, we do our part, but then we trust the unfolding. You know, there's another great movie, Jacqueline, if you're listening. I might have already told you this. I don't know. There's another great movie called Faith Like Potatoes. And where the title comes from is the guy in the movie is a potato farmer. Faith Like Potatoes. You want me to write that in? Faith Like Potatoes. The guy in the movie is a potato farmer. And I really, you know, I've never been a gardener or anything, so I hadn't really given it much thought. But I guess, you know, when you plant potatoes, you actually, I think, plant a portion of a potato, right? And the sprouts grow out of it. So you plant a portion of a potato under the ground, but the potato plant grows under the ground. So you plant it, but it's not like some other crops. Like if you're like corn grows above the ground and you can walk and you know walk through your field and see how the corn is growing, right? You don't know how the potatoes are growing until harvest time when you dig them up. So you do your part. You plant the potatoes. First, you plow the field. You plant the potatoes. You irrigate the field. But then you just have to have faith that something's happening underneath the ground where you can't see. And on harvest day, you dig them up. Well, that's what this journal entry is saying to me at this point, is that I do my part, but I have to have faith. I have to trust that as I do my part, something is happening, right? And not worry about, am I going to awaken? You know, am I good enough to awaken? Is progress happening? You know, I don't do it with the worrisome thoughts of the ego, right? I do my part, and then I have faith like potatoes. And the awakening is growing underground in the unconscious, right? In the unconscious. In fact, sometimes you guys may notice, if you're really contemplating regularly, you may notice that you can see that it's not the thinking mind that's contemplating. Like when I'm reading something, I'll read a few sentences and then there'll be like just this intuitive feeling just to stop and just sit there for a minute. And I'm not thinking about the sentences, I'm just being. You know, if there's a If there's a thinking happening, it's happening underground in the unconscious. It's not the thinking mind. I'm just, you know, I read the few sentences and I feel the inspiration to stop and I just stop. And the potato of awakening is growing underground as I just trust that stopping. And I just wait. And then the feeling goes to continue reading and I do. So awakening is kind of an underground thing. We do our part, like the farmer does his part, but the potatoes grow underground, right? So, when I'm devoted to my job, I give it my undivided attention. I work long hours willingly and tirelessly. I am committed to my best effort. I do not lose interest in a project until it is complete. And I trust the unfolding that is yet to come. Okay, let's look at the second example of devotion, Jasmine, right? When I am devoted to my daughter, I give her my undivided attention. We saw that with the job too, right? They both get my undivided attention. So clearly, devotion and undivided attention go together. I make time for her happily and eagerly. It's not like, oh my God, I gotta go spend time with Jasmine, right? You know, I'm happy to make time for her. I'm happy when she's home. She's gone, you know, to school now. But when she's home, I'm happy to carve out some time in my day every day just to be with her. You know, so if I'm devoted to awakening, then I'm happy to carve out some time in my day every day just to be with contemplation and meditation. Right? It's not, oh my God, I gotta do this. Right? It's, I want to. I make time for it happily and eagerly. I put myself aside so that I can listen to her without being an obstacle to communication. I have learned this. I didn't know this in the beginning. But, you know, I can't listen to my daughter with a judgmental mind. I can't listen to her talk about school and be thinking, oh, you should be doing it this way. I need to just be with her. Let her be her. Let her have her life her way, and I need to just be with her. So I need to put myself aside, whatever my opinions would be on how her life should be going, right? I need to put myself aside so that I'm not an obstacle to communication. And definitely the same thing happens with awakening. You know, we need to put ourselves aside and let intuitive guidance lead us in all things. Right? If we don't put ourselves aside, then we are an obstacle to communication with the internal self. Right? So that's an important part of devotion. I cannot imagine losing interest in her ever. Like if you were to tell me, if you were to tell me, you know what, Regina, someday you're going to get bored with Jasmine, I'd be like, say what? Are you crazy? Like, I'm never going to get bored with Jasmine, you know, and I'm sure I'm not. But if I'm devoted to awakening, I feel the same way. If you know what, someday you're going to lose interest in this awakening thing. You know, when you and Ron retire, all you're going to care about is, you know, antique cars and traveling and, you know, that's not true. Not if I'm devoted to awakening. I will never lose interest in it, right? Never. It's not a temporary hobby. It's my life's devotion. And then the last line is, I trust her and I am here for her. So if we compare that to awakening, then it means I trust awakening, the unconscious growing of the potatoes, and I am here for awakening. Okay, after that, the journal entry continues. If I look at these two examples of devotion, one a devotion of responsibility, which of course is the job, and the other a devotion of the heart, which of course is Jasmine, what do I see? One who is devoted to awakening gives that purpose undistracted attention. That purpose is not forgotten. One who is devoted to awakening cannot help but set aside time for focused practice. It is seen as too important to not give time to it. And by too important, I don't mean too important in the way that I should do it, but too important in the way that this is what I want to do, right? It's too important to skip. It's what I want to do with this life. One who is devoted to awakening is committed to one's best and continuous effort to put the ego aside while being open to awakening's intuitive practice. And again, we're talking about being committed to our best, not perfection. Perfection just is an imaginary line that we judge ourselves against. One who is devoted to awakening cannot lose interest in the purpose or practice. One cannot lose interest because it is a yearning of the heart. So even if I tried to lose interest, I would fail, right? Because it's too much a part of my heart, of what I am, of what I'm about, of this life, right? Can't lose interest in it. One who is devoted to awakening gives attention to that purpose in the way she is called to now, and she trusts the rest. And again, it says that the word the rest has double meaning. So she trusts the rest means, you know, she trusts that those potatoes are growing underground, right? Awakening is happening. But also she trusts the rest, you know, not trying to control, not trying to manage everything, you know, being at rest. She trusts the rest, right? We have 3 minutes left, and there is also an 806C, which is quite short, so why don't we look at it? Again, the quote is, "Eagerness and earnestness are all important. Confidence will come with experience. Be devoted to your goal." And 806C says, "I can be devoted to awakening because I want to be, and want is italicized. I can be devoted to awakening because I want to be. The call for devotion is a call coming from my own heart." So, you know, one thing I've shared over the last few weeks here is that, you know, I'm not a fan of the teachings that seem to say you need, you know, self-control. You have to make yourself do this. And, you know, we called it last week the carrot and the stick, remember? I'm not a fan of that. I suppose it must work for some people because there are teachings that express themselves in that way. But to me, I mean, I can't even imagine. So I guess this is how much of a carrot girl I am. I can't even imagine awakening being anything but a matter of the heart. Oh, Jay says sticks can't work over the long term. Yeah, eventually it may get you started, but it has to turn into a desire. Yeah. Yeah, I can't imagine this being anything but a matter of the heart. I can't imagine doing this for any reason other than I want to. You know, if I wanted to be doing something else, then I would be doing that. Right? This is where I want to be. This is what I want to do with this life. There's nowhere else I'd rather be. Right? There's nothing else I want to be committed to. And I can't imagine it being any other way. So again, the last journal entry, I can be devoted to awakening because I want to be. The call for devotion is a call coming from my own heart. I giggled because I remember, you guys don't do this, you know, over time, people change. But I remember a few years ago when I was teaching the 7 steps, and I was, you know, talking about getting up every morning and spending hours every day contemplating. I remember every now and then somebody would type in a comment that would say something like, "Why are you being so hard on yourself, Regina?" You know? And I tried to explain, I'm not being hard on myself. This is what I want to do. I want to get up and spend 2 or 3 hours a day contemplating, you know? But hopefully that's clear now. I don't see anybody typing in the room, "How come you're being so hard on myself?" I would be hard on myself if I tried not to get up every morning and contemplate and meditate. That would be hard on myself. And with that said, I am going to release the mic, and I will, you know, save and upload this file, but then I will join you for the discussion about the Legend of Agravance. Yeah, I made it. Woohoo! And I actually feel more awake now. All that talk about love woke me up. Bye.